You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. You might have seen the headlines recently. Scientists gave octopuses ecstasy. It was part of a study where they expected to learn about social behavior. What the scientists didn't expect was for the study to go viral. As Ruby Schwartz reports, that's just the most recent chapter in a larger story of the relationship between the human and the octopus.
Picture this. There are two octopuses in a tank. And yes, the plural of octopus is octopuses. Anyway, picture two of them in a tank. One is in a corner minding its own business. In fact, that's what octopuses do. They're not very social creatures. In the other corner is the other octopus. It's in an overturned flower pot with holes in it.
We wanted them to be able to have a social interaction where they could see and smell and touch the other animal, but wouldn't be able to attack the other animal if they were feeling aggressive towards it.
Gul Dolan is a neuroscientist at Johns Hopkins University. And her plan? Give the octopuses MDMA to see if it makes them more social. Yes, MDMA, the drug better known as ecstasy. Gul says before the MDMA, the octopuses wanted nothing to do with each other.
They were very reserved in their body posture. So, you know, all the tentacles pulled in and then sort of like wedged up against one of the walls. They just had this appearance of being very cautious.
But after the MDMA?
They looked sort of at some point like they were doing water ballet.
Doing backflips, playing around the tank. They even became kind of friendly with each other.
They had several of their arms splayed out at once and, you know, kind of five of their eight arms sort of wrapped around the flower pot that had the other octopus in it. They looked very playful.
So you think they were having a good time?
I think they were having a very good time.
After Gul and her team published their findings in September 2018, news outlets around the world picked up the story. They went nuts for it.
Well, scientists have uncovered a link between octopuses and humans by drugging the animals with MDMA.
They respond a lot like we do when they're exposed to ecstasy.
Researchers now say it has a similar effect on octopuses.
And we're seen hugging a flower pot and doing backflips.
Gul was shocked at the media response. She told me 10 years ago she thought she'd cured autism in mice, which is a pretty huge deal. But that study didn't receive nearly as much coverage as this octopus story.
My dad lives in New York, and so he was, you know, very excited that it had come out in the New York Times, but that it came out in the Post as well. And he was like, wow, you know, even Republicans like it.
This is not the first time an octopus story has gone viral. In 2016, Inky the octopus gained worldwide fame when he escaped from his tank in New Zealand. Even NPR picked up the story.
Mr. Inky squeezed through a slight gap at the top of his tank, flopped to the floor, then slithered about 8 feet overland to slide down a drain pipe more than 160 feet long and finally to plop into the bay.
And don't forget Otto, the juggling octopus. Paul, who predicted World Cup games, and of course, Octopus Houdini. He slides through the tiniest of holes. All this made me wonder, what the hell is it with humans and octopuses? Why are we so obsessed with them? It's not just some internet fad. Science writers can't get enough of them. Even our legal systems have a soft spot for them. The British government named the octopus an honorary vertebrate, so it would be covered by the nation's animal welfare law. Australia followed suit, and New Zealand too. But octopuses haven't always been viewed so kindly. Cy Montgomery, a naturalist and the author of The Soul of an Octopus, says that in Western culture, they used to represent something much more sinister.
Octopuses in the West have been seen as monsters for millennia. And who hasn't seen that pen and ink drawing of the huge octopus with his arms snaking up the mast of a huge ship, taking it down?
That pen and ink drawing is Kraken. Kraken first appeared in literature in the 12th century. He's huge, deadly, legendary. In fact, Alfred Lord Tennyson wrote about Kraken.
His ancient, dreamless, uninvaded sleep, the Kraken sleepeth. Faintest sunlight.
Kraken was said to haunt the seas from Norway through Iceland and all the way to Greenland.
Huge sponges of millennial growth and height, and far away into the sickly light from many a one.
Legends say the Kraken could devour a ship's entire crew at once.
Then once by men and angels to be seen, in roaring he shall rise, and on the surface die.
And of course, Hollywood loved octopuses, especially radioactive octopuses that terrorize people.
Gosh, Victor Hugo wrote about octopuses as horrible monsters that suck your blood to the surface and devour you. Well, they don't, my goodness. People, on the other hand, kill and eat billions of octopuses and squid every year. So they've been vilified wrongly throughout Western history.
But over the last decade or so, Sy says popular opinion of the octopus has changed.
People are now realizing how intelligent they are and how emotional they are, and that you can be friends with an octopus.
So this is Octopus bimaculatus. They call it the California two-spot octopus.
That's David Remsen. He runs the Resources Center at the Marine Biological Laboratory in Woods Hole.
Whereas the one over here on the left in a flower pot, you'll notice that it's darker in color.
David points out two octopuses resting in separate tanks. One is white, the other is burgundy. Yet they're the same species. They can change colors drastically.
And so he's just sitting there kind of gazing out into the outside world. I can imagine if it was a cat, it would be purring, right? But that's just me anthropomorphizing, or cat-thropomorphizing, I guess.
Octopuses can completely alter their shape. They have mouths in their armpits, and they taste with their skin. Researchers have said octopuses are the closest creature to an alien we have here on Earth.
And then there's these complicated brains.
The thing that comes up again and again about octopuses is their intelligence.
They have these big brains and, you know, sophisticated behaviors.
That's Eric Etzinger, the other scientist on Gould's MDMA study.
They can escape from tanks and they can unscrew lids of jars.
And we give them the same toys as we give our children. They love to play with Legos. They love Mr. Potato Head.
In captivity, octopuses have learned to navigate mazes and solve puzzles.
They haven't been given an IQ test, so, but they might be a lot smarter than we even recognize.
The puzzle solving, the camouflage, they have three hearts. The more we learn about octopuses, the more we move from frightened to fascinated. And these days, people are into octopuses. There's an online fan club called Octonation.
Octonation? It so rocks the house.
It's got over 350,000 members.
I've never seen anything like this.
There's even a band called the Octopus Project. Scientists might be capitalizing on this octopus craze too. For example, Eric told me he hadn't always planned on researching octopuses.
And had trouble getting funding for snail research. But I brought an octopus in, and that was basically the day I met everyone in the building. And realize octopus just sells itself. And so at that point, I had literally that day switched my career direction.
Fast forward to Eric and Gould's MDMA study. While the media latched on to the cuddling and the backflipping, Eric and Gould focused on something more, human social behavior. Why do we act the way we do? Here's why octopuses may hold part of the answer. Long ago, humans and octopuses went their separate evolutionary ways. And yet somehow, more than half a billion years later, our social behavior is still connected.
And now all of a sudden, that part of our brain that's guiding us on those behaviors, it's not just us. It's not even just a chimp. It's also something that looks as distant as an octopus.
Maybe, Gould says, this will someday help us study the human brain. Help us treat PTSD and other social disorders. People didn't used to think invertebrates like octopuses could teach us so much about ourselves.
Because they're so different from us that if you discover something in an octopus, you won't be able to translate it to a human brain. And I think that that these experiments say, no, that's not true.
Despite appearances, there are deep, enduring similarities between us and octopuses. Similarities that reach back hundreds of millions of years. And who knows, maybe that's one of the reasons we like them so much. We see ourselves in them. And Sai agrees.
I'm delighted octopuses are teaching us this at last. They're helping us to see that we're not the only minds out there. And that there's so much more beauty and excitement and intelligence and delight in the world. And if you can connect with an octopus, you can certainly connect with a person who's different from yourself. And we desperately need that now, too.
I'm Ruby Schwartz in Woods Hole, Massachusetts.
This piece came to us from our production partners at Atlantic Public Media through their media training program, the Transom Story Workshop in Woods Hole. Ruby just graduated from the workshop. You can find out more about that program at transom.org.